Good song, and appreciate the truth of the song. And I want to be an overcomer. Jesus is, amen? He's an overcomer. Well, you have your Bible open to Proverbs chapter 6, and I want to give you some warnings tonight. From time to time, we just need to be warned about the enemy. The enemy's, he's crafty. The Bible uses the word subtle. He's a very subtle enemy. And here the scripture in Proverbs chapter number 6 talks about six things that the Lord hates. We don't often talk about the things that the Lord hates. We many times talk about the love of the Lord, and that's a good thing. But here's some things that the Lord hates. Seven even are abomination to Him. And I'm just going to go down, and we're going to talk about pride. But I want to go down and read these. I'm just asking you to search your heart. It can happen. It can happen. From time to time, things can creep into our lives, and we can get blindsided, and things can just find our way into our hearts and lives, and we just need to ask God, God, help us now. We don't want to be victims of these things. And so let's look at them together. You're very familiar with this passage of Scripture. A proud look. We're going to come back to that one. A proud look is the first thing that the writer started out with. He said, the Lord hates this, a proud look, pride. And there's a reason that God has a special hatred for pride. And we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Then he said, a proud look, a lying tongue. Someone who's just telling lies. You say, well, I don't lie. Well, good. That's a good thing. But now you can't be tempted to. And you say, well, I did before I got saved. Well, you can be tempted to lie after you get saved. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be just an out-and-out falsehood. It could be an exaggeration. I mean, there's all kinds of things that the devil could use to try to get you to move in that direction. So I'm just saying be careful. All right? Be careful. Do inventory. And this is what else he said. He said not only that, but he said hands that shed innocent blood. Well, I would sure hope that there would be no one here that would be involved in that, but it's a serious offense. It's a serious offense. And then he said this. He said, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift and run into mischief. Some people just can't wait to get to the next act of violence or mischief. You know, I mean, they're just going from one to the next. Just looking for a way to get in trouble or to do what is wrong. And the Bible says God hates that. God hates it. And you be careful of participating in any type of evil, but in particular things that God hates. Now, God hates all evil, but these seem to have a special place that God judges. Then he said this. He said, not only feet that are swift to run to mischief, but a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So we all need to be careful. It can happen. It can happen to any of us. You say, well, I'm in church, and I'm glad. I read my Bible, and I'm glad. I'm saved, and I'm thankful. But the devil still is going to try to get you involved in some of these things to try to mar your testimony and just get you away from the Lord and get you involved in things that brings about sorrow. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you've probably participated in a couple or a few of these. I want to talk to you about pride, okay? Now, I've preached this message before, and I'm going to preach it again, and I'll keep preaching it because I think that pride is the sin that destroys churches, it destroys homes, it destroys marriages, it destroys lives. Pride. You know, the Bible has some really, really harsh things to say about pride, how that God views the sin of pride. It's amazing how that in some of the categorical list that pride is listed in, it's amazing how that God puts it with blasphemy. Pride with blasphemy. Pride with murder. Isn't that something? Murder. Pride. A lot of people just really don't think about pride as being a sin that God would hate. We could talk about murder and those that shed innocent blood out of this and say, you know, those people that perform abortions, God's got a special judgment on them. Can I tell you that God hates pride that way? He does. Pride. See, pride will get you. Pride will get me. And we have to be careful. And so I want to just ask you a question. I'm going to look up here, and it's not a trick question. This is not a trick question. It's a very sincere question. I want you to be honest before the Lord. How many of you would say, preacher, I have a problem with pride from time to time? Raise your hand. I want you to hold it up and keep it up now. Just be honest before the Lord. I have a problem with pride from time to time. Okay. Now, I'm not trying to see everyone saying. If you didn't lift your hand, then I've got a message for you, okay? For those of you who lifted your hand, I want you to know this message is for you. Because you realize you have a problem. I think you'll get some help from it. Because you realize you have a problem. Now, those that didn't lift your hand, well, the message is more for you. And I'm going to pray that God would help you to see that you have a problem. You have a problem so deep with pride that you're not even willing to admit you have a problem. And that's a serious problem. See, the need of the problem is to see the problem. Sometimes in our lives as believers, we have things in our lives that are sinful and we can't even see them. And we need God to reveal them. Sometimes God will send someone to us in the spirit of love to tell us, and you receive that now. Don't push people away that are trying to help you. And I understand some people just have an old cantankerous spirit, and they just want to wound you. I understand that. Wound me. They just want to, you know, it's almost like they're trying to get back at you. You know, you think you're so hot. Let me just tell you something that I see in your life, you know. And they have a bad spirit, and they just want to come at us and find something in our life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if someone comes to you and or comes to me in the spirit of love, it wants to point out something. Sharon and I were having this conversation tonight. There's not a thing wrong with approaching someone that you love and saying, hey, listen, I'm seeing something and it's concerning to me and I want to bring it to your attention. That's biblical, brethren. That's biblical. And I don't know how we could say that we are a friend to someone and we see them headed to danger and we wouldn't at least warn them and say, hey, I just wanted to mention to you now, this is something I'm seeing, and perhaps you're not seeing it. Perhaps you are, and you're just heading that way intentionally. But perhaps you're drifting that way, and I want to bring it to your attention. Now, this thing of pride. Before I get into what the Scripture says about pride, I'm just going to turn to some Scripture. I'm going to let God tell us about this thing called pride. I'm just going to turn to some Scripture. The Bible has a lot to say about this. I'm not even going to touch the hem of the garment. I just want to bring some awareness. This is a major problem. It's a major problem. We're born with this problem. Okay? We're born with the problem of pride. It's part of that Adamic nature. It certainly was the sin that caused Lucifer, son of the morning, to be cast from heaven. To be cast down. And the Bible has a lot to say about people who will participate in this sin. And it is sin. Pride is sin in its worst form. It is the seed of all sin. Someone has said it's the mother of all sin. So we have to be really careful with this thing called pride. Now, when I say pride, I'm not talking about self-respect. See, some people, they think if they walk around like, you know, and how you doing today? Well, I'm just humbly making it, you know. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. That's a feigned, that's a false pride. Some people think that if you have self-worth and self-respect, that you're full of pride. No, it's just self-worth and self-respect. And I believe when you get saved, you ought to have that. You can have it before you get saved, but certainly when you get saved, you ought to have a little self-worth and self-respect. Amen. Pride is self-sufficiency. Pride is, I don't need God. And if you rub me wrong, I'll tell you, I don't need you. See, that's pride. Pride is when someone comes to you and says, hey, brother, I've noticed this, and And I just thought I'd bring your attention, and you get mad and tell them, well, I got an idea for you. Why don't you bug off and leave me alone? I don't need you. See, that's pride. Pride is self-dependency, self-sufficiency. Me, self-made man. I don't need anyone else when God has clearly said that we do need one another. That's one of the reasons we assemble together, to exhort one another. Amen. No man liveth unto himself, Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 7, and no man dieth unto himself. We need one another. God has put us in a body, and just like my feet need my legs and my hands need my arms, we're part of a complete body, and we need one another to function in a way that God would have us to function. And when we get this idea, well, I don't need the church, I don't need the brethren, I don't need the Bible, I don't need this, and I don't need that. Well, see, that's pride has crept into our hearts, and we think we're self-sufficient, self-dependent, and it can really lead to destruction. And so here's a warning. Let's look and see what the Scripture says. But before we do, I wrote down some things that through some research that said that would help us to know. It's kind of like a self-test. So I want to give this test to you. I took the test. So how'd you do, preacher? Well, because of my pride, I'm not going to tell you. You see, now, preacher, the last thing we need is a message on pride. We're humble enough. We're proud of our humility, right? You ever met someone? I mean, I actually heard a conversation this way where a fellow walks up to another guy, and he said something along these lines. He said, you know, he said, I feel so blessed. He said, I really just don't have pride in my life. And the other guy said, well, you really don't have anything to be proud about. And he said, what are you talking about? I got just as much to be proud about as you have. And I thought, wow, that turned quick. You know, it's amazing how that we can feel a certain way, but if someone points it out, we want to get all defensive. And listen, pride is something we all battle with. Now, some don't battle with it in the areas of others, but we all battle with it. You see, like, you can be overlooked in something and get your feelings hurt, and that's pride. Because you felt like, you know what, I deserve that. I deserve that. Pride will get you to the place where you think you deserve some things, not just more, but better, right? I don't only deserve more than you have, I deserve better than you have. That's pride. And pride is ruining our country. It's ruining it. Let me give you this test here. The abilities and the gifts that God has given you, do you flaunt them and show them off? Are you proud of them, or do you give God the glory for them? This is for we as Christians. Listen, we have to be real careful. God has gifted some of you folks in a tremendous way. And don't allow those gifts and abilities to be used against you by the enemy, to puff you up and to make you think you're something that you're not. I thank God as the pastor, and I believe the church body thanks God. We thank God for the gifts and the abilities that are in this building. But now that doesn't make us any better than anyone else. Amen. We are what we are truly by the grace of God. And all that I am and all that I have is by the good grace of God. I mean that. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can forget that, right? We can forget that and we think, well, you know what? I do this or I do that or I've done this. I want everybody to know what I'm doing. That's pride. God sees what you're doing. God sees what I'm doing. God's keeping the records. And so be careful not only what you do, how you do it, but why you do it. See, pride can get involved. Number two, do you love praise and telling others how much you've done and almost to the point of trying to shame people, you know? Be careful. That could be pride. That could be pride. I thank God for the ability to serve the Lord. But now we don't want to go around tooting a horn all the time. Amen? Be careful. God will give recognition. God will exalt. I wrote this down. God's grace can exalt without inflating. Isn't that a great statement? God's grace can exalt without inflating. God's grace can also abase without humiliating. What a great statement. So God will take care of the notoriety and the people getting notice and getting rewarded. God will take care of that. We don't want to be like those Pharisees now that stood on the street corner and tooted the horns, right? That's right. And if we go to the place where we feel like we're getting unnoticed, boy, our feelings could get hurt and pride can set in. And we'll begin to wonder, well, why are they doing it, not me? I'm just as good as him, right? Be careful. Don't let pride get you that way. It can happen. It can happen. Do you hate to be corrected? When someone corrects you, do you get all proud and get angry and maybe even try to find a reason to come back at them? Well, if you're wrong, you're wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. This is the part where pride will say, don't say amen. There's nothing wrong with correction, especially if it's done in the right spirit. We all need correction. The Bible says that the Scripture is given for correction. Is that what it says, brethren? And so there's times that we all need correction. Your pastor needs correction. Do it in the right spirit. We all need correction. Husbands, if your wife corrects you, that doesn't mean that she's insubordinate. That's good for you. Be good for your wife to correct you, then you get out and do something foolish and somebody else correct you. Amen. Say, I'm not going to let my wife correct me, preacher. Well, go ahead, you proud thing. Correction's good for us. Amen. Correction's good for us. We need correction. All of us. We need correction. And if you flare up, if I bow up, if I get angry when somebody corrects me, that's a sure sign I'm full of pride. I told you what happened, and I let some pride slip in when that man at that training seminar for ACE walked up to me and told me, you need to push your chair back under. And I thought, But the Holy Spirit smote me in my heart. See, this old flesh doesn't like correction. It just doesn't. So you be careful now. If someone gives you correction, receive it. Receive it. If you bow up at it, you're the one with the problem, not the person who's giving you correction. Think about this. Do you receive instruction? Are you the kind of person that the whole time somebody's speaking to you, I know, you can't be taught anything. You can't be told anything. Every time somebody goes to instruct you, you just close them off and say, well, I already know that. Well, out of respect, you ought to listen anyway. Amen. Instruction. Pride, brethren, pride. It'll destroy the church. A church full of know-it-alls. We can't teach one another and help one another because we're so sensitive. Because if we try to correct somebody, they're going to bow up and go and say, well, that old brother so-and-so, he thinks he knows it all. Well, he might know more than you in that area. That's okay, isn't it? We can't know it all about everything. Amen. I know some of your husbands got your wives believing that you do, and you're probably thinking, please don't say I don't. But instruction and correction are good for us. I just want to, I appeal to you tonight. This is important. If we're going to continue to grow as a church, we're going to have to be pliable. You know what that is? You're going to have to be flexible. You're going to have to take some correction. You can't be right all the time. There's a time for instruction. Amen. There's a time for instruction. Get instructed. I want to be instructed. I love learning. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the higher up you get, the harder it is to receive correction. Am I right, brethren? If you're working out on the floor in a place and somebody comes out and corrects you, then okay. Then you move up to the office position and somebody corrects you and you're thinking, well, now, wait a minute. But then you move up to management position and somebody corrects you. Now all of a sudden, it's like, who do you think you are? I'm in management. Well, you can be in management and still be wrong and still need correction. This is what God is saying here. You can be the pastor of a church and still have a deacon or someone who doesn't even hold an office of the church to correct you, and I could still need that. I should receive that if it's done in the spirit of love. We all need correction. We all need instruction. What about counsel? See, these are questions that we need to preface this thing about pride, because it'd really be no need in getting any further if we're not willing to open up to these things. I could show you what God says about pride and how God hates pride and how God will punish and judge pride and how that pride will bring destruction in your home and in your marriage, in your family, and in this church. But if we don't open ourselves up to what God has said about it, it's not going to help us any. We've got to come face to face with this thing and say, you know, I battle with this thing called pride. When someone corrects me, there's something that kind of flares up on the inside of me. When someone goes to instruct me, I need to just slow down and hear what they've got to say instead of just writing them off before they can get it out. Who do you get your counsel from? See, that'll let me know how proud you are. Preacher, I just make decisions every day. I don't seek counsel. I don't seek advice. I know what I'm doing. I don't need anybody telling me how to live life. You're full of pride is what you are. You're going to make many, many mistakes that you're going to learn from, I hope. But don't make unnecessary mistakes. Get you some people. Surround yourself with some good people. In the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. There is safety. And matters are established. Brethren, does the Word of God teach that? Raise your hand if the Word of God teaches that and you know it. It's right here in the book of Proverbs. I hope you could turn to it. And yet, we know the Bible teaches that, and yet we'll make decision after decision after decision after decision in our life, and we won't seek counsel. And yet, the Word of God says that's where there's safety. That's where there's wisdom. That's how matters get established. You say, I don't know what it is, preacher, but I just keep stumbling over the same old campfires. What kind of counselor are you getting? Are you praying about things? See, that's the place to start with counsel. Pray about it. Get God's counsel, right? Yeah. You say, preacher, this is elementary. Oh, I know. But sometimes we struggle with the elementary things. We either believe the Bible or we don't. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible says, well, to pray about everything. I told you a few weeks back, I'm working on that. God's helping me with that. I don't pray about everything. So, oh, I don't know if I'd say that, preacher. Yeah, I know, because you're full of pride. And God's helping me with it. I haven't conquered it yet, but God's helping me with it. See, I have shortcomings in my life and have areas I need God to shore up in my life. And one of them is I want God to help me pray about everything. I don't want to just be out there making random decisions on how I feel or how I see things. What a disaster. What a disaster. Well, I just feel we're going to do this. Well, be careful about feelings. Emotions is a terrible leader. So be careful. As a matter of fact, we've got some folks probably, and I wouldn't call their name, but if they wanted to, they could stand up here and say, you better listen to the preacher. Emotions was my navigator for a while, and it took me down a dark, disastrous road. Emotions will carry you down that road. So be careful. Be careful. I've pastored many people, and I've made some decisions based on emotions myself. It's not about who I've pastored. It's me as the pastor. And it's just not good to let emotions drive your decisions, how you feel or how I see it. What does the Scripture say? What saith the Scriptures? Right? So here's some things that we start off with. How are these things in your life? Are you open to correction? You get mad and gruff when someone says something to you, like, who does he think he is telling me how to do it? Well, maybe he's trying to help you. Maybe she's trying to help you, right? You do something wrong, somebody comes and says, hey, that's not the way you do that. What do you do? Well, You get all mad and ready to fight somebody over that. If you do now, you had a problem with pride. And you need to let God help you. So let's start there. I'm just going to ask you to turn some scripture and we'll be through. All right? I want you to think about this. When we turn, if you would, to Proverbs. We're going to stay in the book of Proverbs until the end. Proverbs 16. Let's look at it. Proverbs 16, verse 5. This is what God says about pride. Now, God says a lot about pride. God hates pride. I pray that when the night's over, that we'll all hate it. Because it's a sin that causes many, many, many people to stumble and to get into areas of other sin that we never thought we could get into, but it all started with pride, a proud heart and a proud look. Proverbs 16, look at verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. That's what God said. If you have a proud heart, if you're one of those who say, you're not going to correct me. You're not going to tell me how to do it. I don't need your instruction. I can live without you. I'm going to make these decisions. I don't need a multitude of counselors. I don't need to pray. I know how I feel in my heart. That's pride. And here the scripture says right here in verse number 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, and though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. That's what God said. That's not what your pastor said. That's what God said. See, God takes this thing serious about people not following instruction. We live in a day where people just do not follow instruction, will not receive correction, reproof, get all on the defensive. We're so sensitive. We're so soft-skinned. Someone can't even give us a little advice without us blowing up and saying, well, who does he or who does she think she is? Well, if they're telling you the truth in love, I'd say they're probably your friend. And we need to listen and quit thinking we know it all and thinking that we're further down the road. And so who are you to tell me? I'm the pastor. You just got saved last month. Well, that doesn't mean that I can't learn from you. Look in chapter number 21. Proverbs 21. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. What's that mean, preacher? That means when a man goes about his business. This is a farmer reference. Man goes about his business, say, I don't need God, I don't need his sunshine, I don't need his rain, I don't need his soil. I'm a plower, I'm a farmer, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, I'm going to reap, and I'm going to get what I'm going to get, and God has nothing to do with it. I'm self-sufficient, self-made man. You say, well, preacher, I'd never do that. Well, the Bible says in James chapter 4, as we shall see as we close, that before we do anything, we ought to say, if the Lord will, I'll do thus and thus. If it be God's will, I'm going to seek God's mind. I'm going to seek God's will in the matter. I'm going to get some counsel. I'm going to acknowledge God in all of my ways, and then he shall direct my paths. I'm just not going to go out and do it on my own and think I can do it without God. But see, that's what this verse of Scripture is referencing to. It's a man in verse number 4 with a high look and a proud heart saying, I don't need God. I don't need my neighbor. I don't need anyone. I'm a self-made man. I'm going to do it my way. I did it my way. Well, you may do it your way, but it may not turn out the way you intended to turn out. So just be careful. It's a warning. It's a warning. And so we see where God says you need to realize you need him. And God doesn't take lightly that as Christians, as his people, as his creation generally, but as his people specifically, God doesn't take lightly that we just get up and go about our day and not acknowledge him. And I'm asking God to help me with this. See, this is something that I need help with. I want to acknowledge God in all of my ways, all of them, not just most of them. And I'm still working on it. And I want God to help me. I want to pray about everything. You say, preacher, you can't pray about everything. Well, you talk to God about that when we get to heaven, because he said we ought to. And so I just want to do what the Bible says. And I fall short many, many times in many areas, but I do want to acknowledge that God's word is right. Whether I feel like it is or not, it's right. And so this matter of pride, I don't want to leave God out. I don't want to leave God out. Number two, turn if you would to Proverbs 13. Something else that God says about pride. He says, first of all, I hate when you leave me out. It shows the worst kind of pride, and it's not going to end well for you. There's going to be punishment. But then he said, pride, when you have pride, it causes unnecessary contention. Contention. Now, I want you to watch very carefully the wording here in Proverbs 13. Look at verse number 10. Proverbs 13, verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Only by pride is contention. Now, here the scripture didn't say that only by pride is problems. You're going to have problems. I have problems. We all have problems. Now, I realize the devil probably has told you you're the only ones that have your kind of problems. He's good at that, right? The devil's a liar and the father of lies. And he'll come to you and say, well, you've got a special set of problems. Nobody's suffering like you're suffering, right? See, that's a lie of the devil. We all have problems. There's not a person sitting under the sound of my voice nor the person speaking that doesn't have problems. We all have problems. Now, they may not be the same problems, may not be in the same intensity, but we all have problems. We all have sorrow. We all have shortcomings and setbacks. But now, here's what the scripture's teaching. See, problems could be solved. They can't. There's no problem too big to be solved, only people too little to solve them because of pride. Husband and wife get in an argument, it could be solved. But contention's going to come. Why? Look at what it says in verse 10. Only by pride. Problems could be solved. There would not be continuous contention if pride were taken care of. But because of pride, I'm not going to let her talk to me that way. I'm not going to let him say that and get by. Right? She won the last battle. She ain't winning two in a row. Pride. Contention. See, pride causes contention, causes it in the church. So I'm mad at somebody in the church right now, preacher. You are. What are you going to do about that? I'm on stew. You are. I don't recommend that. The Bible has a biblical way for brethren to work out differences. And it hasn't changed because of a pandemic. It hasn't changed because of Joe Biden as our president. A lot of things have, but not that. Listen to me. We can't blame these things on our government. We can't blame these things on what's going on in our world. The Bible has given us instruction how to handle these things. And here the Bible says that pride causes contention. If you're just back and forth with somebody, back and forth, in the church, in your home, in the workplace, that's contention. It's contention. Problems can be solved. God has given us ways to solve problems. And I will tell you, I have found, I don't always practice it, but I have found that usually the solving of a problem begins with the spirit of humility. Anybody else found that? But when you go in with a proud heart, that problem's not going to be solved. It's going to be magnified. And now contention gets involved. And now it's just tug and pull, tug and pull. Why? Because only by pride, Proverbs 13, verse number 10, cometh contention. Can I tell you a good way to maybe put some contention at rest in your home and in your marriage and your relationships? Maybe even right here at church. I don't know. Deal with the matter of pride and approach somebody in the spirit of humility and say, you know what, there's friction here and there's a problem and I want to bring about the biblical way to take care of it. You know, as Christians, we ought to handle things the Bible way. Isn't that right, brethren? We're Christians. We're Christians. So, well, I heard, doesn't matter what you've heard. One of the things that are really, listen, it is destroying people. Destroying people. Is they're living by what they heard. Well, I heard what you hear. Did you hear it from the person that did it? It's probably not so then. And if you, what you heard is really concerning to you, I mean to the point to where it's bothering you, go to the person that you heard it about and ask them, is this what happened? That's the way the Bible said we're to do it. Amen. But because of pride, we're going to go to someone else. Because of pride. And then contention's going to get involved. Not only is the matter not going to be, the problem's not going to be solved, now we have contention to deal with. You see what God said? God's word's always right. And I'm just giving some warning through instruction tonight. Let me give you a couple more and we'll be through, okay? Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 11. Chapter number 11. Look at verse number, in chapter 11, verse number 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, 2 and some other Proverbs deal with shame. Pride causes shame. You know, a lot of times people in their pride think that the reason they can't humble themselves is because if I humble myself and do the right thing, it's going to bring shame. That's a lie of the devil. That'll bring resolution and joy if you do the right thing in the spirit of humility. But if you get pride involved, pride always ends in shame because God said so. Look at what Proverbs 11, look at verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. See, pride always brings shame. Let's look at another scripture in Proverbs. Look at chapter number 15, Proverbs 15. Look in verse number 33. I just went through and wrote down these scriptures. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, or the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. There can be honor in situations and not shame when it's handled in the spirit of humility. It's just a way to handle it. And God help me and God help you to handle it that way. We're all going to have situations. And we need to ask God, God help me to handle it this way. Turn to another verse over in chapter 18. Look at chapter 18, Proverbs 18. Look at verse number 2. Proverbs 18, verse number 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And so if you want to be honorable in the way you conduct your life, your family, the church, your relationships, when there's problems, do it in the spirit of humility, and there will be honor to come from it. If we do it with pride and contention, the Bible clearly teaches, it's just going to bring shame. And I don't think any of us want that. I think all of us have experienced it and may experience it again if we don't follow the biblical mandate. And so God help us in this. Now, let me give you two more, and then we'll be through as far as two more things, two more points. Pride brings ruin. Look in chapter 15 of Proverbs. Proverbs 15, look in verse number 25. This is where it gets a little scary. Okay? Proverbs 15, verse 25, the Bible says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. You believe that? Say, preacher, I believe all the Bible. That ought to concern us then. It ought to concern us. I don't want to walk around like I know it all and I can't be taught and I don't want to be unteachable. I want God to help me to be pliable and be open to instruction and correction. Especially from Him and His Word, but His people. We can learn from one another. The Bible clearly teaches the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 16, look at verse number 18. This is probably one of the most familiar verses of Scripture about pride. Proverbs 16, verse number 18. Many probably could quote this verse of Scripture. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, in our pride, if we're not careful, and I'm saying we now, I struggle with this, you struggle with this, this is something we all struggle with and we need to work on it. So I'm going to work on my neighbor's pride. Well, now you work on your pride. Okay, you work on you. And pray for your neighbor to work on him or her. But don't be trying to work on other people's pride. You work with your pride. God help me to have a humble spirit. We'll see what God says about that in just a moment. But pride goeth before destruction. Don't get stiff-necked now and say, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. That preacher's not going to tell me. That Sunday school teacher's not going to tell me. That brother's not going to tell me. I'm not going to do it. Now, wait a minute now. God said pride goeth before destruction. And pride will not go unpunished. And God said, I will destroy the house of the proud. Now, God means what he says. Sometimes we look around, we wonder, well, what happened? I didn't see that coming. That come out of nowhere. It's God's forbearance saying enough is enough. Brethren, God still punishes sin in the life of the believer. Amen. I'm glad God is gracious. I thank God for his graciousness and his mercy. But God still does punish sin in our lives. Amen. And I think sometimes we live as though, well, God's going to not require it. God's just going to allow me to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Well, no, that's not the way God deals with his children. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so God will deal with this sin of pride in my life and in your life. And I just felt very strong in my heart. It's time to talk with the church about pride. And so we need to be careful. Proverbs 18, we'll look at verse 12 again, then I'm going to turn to a couple of New Testament scriptures and we'll be through. Proverbs, let's look at verse 12 again. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Can I tell you, God loves a humble spirit? He does. When I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm in God's Word the way I need to be in God's Word, when I'm praying and doing what God has commanded me to do, the spirit of humility is present in my life. But now when I'm walking my way, and when I'm going through the energy of the flesh and going through the day and how I want it done and doing things the way I want to do it, the spirit of pride raises its ugly head in my life. And I'll find myself doing things that are contrary to the spirit of humility and the way God wants it done. I'll say things that I shouldn't say. And I'll go about things the way I shouldn't go about it. Now, I'm not talking about, listen to me now, I'm not talking about murder and inappropriate living, drinking and carousing. I'm talking about the spirit of pride, to where I just pretty much say to God in action, if not in word, but just in action, God, I don't need you. I'm going to do this my way today. I'm not going to take the time to get in your word and get your direction and instruction. I'm not going to pray and ask you, Lord, to guide me. I'm not going to acknowledge you in all my ways. I'm just going to go about today the way I feel that I need to go about today. And in pride, what I'm saying to God is, God, I'm self-made. I'm self-sufficient. I'm self-dependent. Today, I've got this. It's a terrible way to go about a day. And yet, it happens. So what can we do, preacher? Well, turn, if you would, to two passages of Scripture in the New Testament. We'll read them and be done tonight. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5 and James chapter 4. We'll read 1 Peter chapter number 5 first, and then we'll go back to James chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 5. These are what's called parallel passages. They have a lot of the same content, but from a different angle. Notice in verse number 5 of 1 Peter chapter number 5. Are you there? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. So what are we going to do, preacher? What are we going to do? This thing called pride, I mean, it's part of us. It's part of our chemical makeup. It's part of the fallen nature. It's part of the sin nature. It's part of who we are. We have to die daily, don't we? Don't we, brethren? We have to ask God, God, help me with this. How do we go about that? Well, here we have Scripture laid out to us. Scripture admonition, this is what you can do. Look at it, verse number 5 of 1 Peter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Now, this is what God says. This is a way you can defeat pride. You can submit yourselves. You can humble yourselves one to another. Be in subjection. For God, now look at this. It doesn't just say that God denies the proud. He resisteth the proud. That's strong language. The Bible says we're to resist the devil. And here the Bible's saying God will resist you if you're proud. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's my responsibility and your responsibility, to bring myself. Humble yourselves. You, humble yourself. Me, I'm to humble myself under God's mighty hand. I'm to put myself into God's loving care. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that in the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So here's God's answer to pride. Humble yourself. Bring yourself under the authority of God. Be sober. Be vigilant. Realize you have an adversary, the devil. He's trying to get you to live life your way. He's trying to get you to live life in opposition to God's way, to do what you want to do instead of what God said to do. And he said, so be careful. Now we close with this, James chapter 4. This will be the final scripture. James chapter 4. It's a parallel passage, as I mentioned, but James goes a little more in detail, and I want to read these scriptures. I don't even know that I'll comment on it. I think they really are a commentary in themselves. We'll begin our reading in verse number 6, James 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud. There it is again. That's sobering. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such boasting is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You have to combat pride. You have to put God in his rightful place, which is on the throne of your heart. You have to begin each day with him, continue each day with him, and close each day with him. But the old world, the flesh, and the devil's just trying to pull us, isn't it? Just trying to get us. We have to stay ever conscious that this thing called pride, this sin, is there and it's just trying to get us to do life our way and to leave God out, to say things we ought not say, to do things we ought not do, to go about things the way in which we ought not to go about them, that it would be dishonorable and shameful in our pride instead of honorable in the spirit of humility. Let's stand to our feet.